I've been preaching a lot on the coats recently in the last several months. We talked about Joseph's coat, that coat of many colors, that very special coat. We talked about Adam and Eve's coats, the coats of skin, and how the Lord made for them coats to cover their nakedness. And then this morning I want to talk about, and we talked also about last week, Elijah's mantle, the mantle of that Spirit of the Lord that was upon him. And then this morning I want to talk about the coats of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to talk about, at our text this morning, we'll be out of verse 27, neither were their coats changed. Neither were their coats changed. When you find Daniel 3, stand with us, and we'll read the word of the Lord together. Daniel chapter 3, and I want to begin reading down around verse number 19, and we'll read through verse 27. I could read the whole chapter, but for sake of time, we'll not do that this morning. Just read the pertinent verses to where we're preaching from the word of the Lord. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And it came, or he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the fire, burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. If you notice, it doesn't just call it the fiery furnace. It calls it in every location the burning fiery furnace. To make it known unto us, this was not just a place where there had been a fire, but there was currently a fire burning. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near unto the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains of the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men. These are the witnesses of what took place. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, and here's our text, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. Preaching this morning, neither were their coats changed. We've been talking about these coats and these mantles and so forth the last several weeks, and even the past couple of months we've studied some on these items, and have not been a continuous series, but it's been a continuous study for me, and I've shared with you what the Lord has given me as He's given it to me. But I want to preach this morning on neither were their coats changed. Now, very familiar passage of Scripture. I do want to remind you of a few things and set a little bit of a stage for the preaching this morning. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, you see, had a dream about a statue of various materials that represented the nation of the world, nations of the world that would follow him. He had a dream of a statue with a head of gold, and then the arms and so forth of silver, and belly and thighs and so forth of brass, and all down into iron, and then iron and clay in its feet. And he had this statue, and had this dream of this statue, and Daniel interpreted the dream and told him that these various metals that are in this body, this statue, represent the kingdoms of the earth that will follow after you. And these were those of the Greeks and that of the Medes and the Persians and also the Romans and so forth, these Gentile kingdoms that would follow after King Nebuchadnezzar. And then King Nebuchadnezzar came up with this idea that he would create
My friend, seeing how he was the head of gold, he would rather create a statue fully of gold to demonstrate that his kingdom and his power would not be usurped by another, in spite of the word of the Lord that had come through Daniel. And after he made this great statue, he commanded that when the statue was built, that all the inhabitants and the princes of the city would be gathered together to worship this image of himself and to give praise and homage and honor unto the statue that he had made. When they played all the instruments, the people were present there to worship. And when they began to give off the sound, the sackbut and the psaltery and the harp and so forth, the people were to bow down and to worship this statue that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And yet, when they began to play the instruments and everybody did bow down, there were three boys that just would not participate. There were three boys, three young men that refused to be a part of this exercise of idolatry. Amen. And we talked a bit this morning in Sunday school about idolatry. And these boys refused to participate in this exercise of idolatry. Had these boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or as we see them here by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would not worship this statue. There's a few things that's interesting about them. You see, they were bold when they were questioned about it. Verses 16 and 17, they told the king, said, "We're not careful to answer you in this matter." In other words, we're not scared of you, king. It doesn't bother us that we have to answer you about this matter of whether or not we'll participate in your series or your service or your exercise of idolatry. And they said, "We're but not careful to answer you in this matter." But they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." They were bold in how they dealt with this situation. And then we find not only were they bold, we find that they would not bend. They would not bow and they would not burn. Amen. They were bold and they would not bend, they would not bow, and they would not burn. And I want to say because of that, they were blessed. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and saw four men walking around loosed, my friend, and walking around, and they brought the men out unharmed. The men had been bound. They had been cast in the fire. It had been heated up seven times hotter than normal. My friend, the fire was so intense that it killed the men, that it threw them in. Yet, even though they had been bound, they were still blessed because they found themselves walking with Jesus. I'm going to say this morning, if you are walking in a fire, or if you're walking in a flood, or if you're walking on fine, fertile ground, if you're walking with Jesus, then you're blessed. Amen. And you're walking a blessed life, and you've got a blessed walk. Matter of fact, I find the songwriter to say it this way: "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still in the roses." And hey, he talks about how he fellowships there with the Lord. In other words, he's singing about his private prayer time, and that private place where he talks to the Lord. And he said, "In that place he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own." And if you're walking with Jesus, then you're blessed. And the Bible said when they brought them out of this fiery furnace, this burning fiery furnace, they brought them out. They called them out. And by the way, they didn't have to send anybody in there to get them. Amen. If they had, it would have killed the fellows coming in to get them. They called them out and they came out of their own power. And when they came walking out, the Bible said that all the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors were gathered together and they examined them, and they were witnesses unto the fact that their bodies had not been touched by the power of the fire, that not a hair on their head was singed, and neither were their coats changed. Neither were their coats changed. And so that's what I'm preaching on this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that they were tied in their coats. They were tied in their coats. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, "Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats. and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You see, the traditional Babylonian wardrobe consisted of a linen tunic down to the feet, and then a woolen mantle over it down to the knees, and a turban or a hat upon the head. And they were bound, the Bible said, in their hosen. This is the linen garment that ran all the way down to the feet, and it represents the body or the natural man. And then they were bound in their hosen. It said they were bound with their hat on. This is the turban. It represents the mind or the soul of man and his thought process. And then they were bound in their hat, their hosen, and they were bound in their coat. This is the mantle. It's the outer garment. It represents the spirit or the anointing of God that can come upon a man in that part that only God can operate in of us. You see, we are a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. And everything about us is threes. And my friend, we're made in the likeness and the image of God. God said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. And we're made in His likeness and image. Just as God is a three-part being, my friend, Father, Son, and Spirit, so we are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And everything about us is built in threes. I mean, there's a three joints in your fingers, and the three joints, major joints in your hands, three major joints in your feet, three major joints in your legs. Isn't it interesting how that we are built in threes? And God, this God of heaven, who's a God of order, made us in His likeness and in His image. And we are a three-part being. And these three primary parts of man being body, soul, and spirit. And they're represented here in the coats that these men were tied up in. They were bound in, my friend, their hose and their hat and their coat. That is, they were bound in their body, and the soul, and in the spirit. In other words, they were not stripped before being cast in the fire, but they were cast in fully clothed. All three elements of their being were exposed to the furnace. And I want to say, friend, when you get in the fire, and in times of infirmities, it will not only strike body, but many times infirmities will strike in body, and in soul, and in spirit. Amen. The trials of life are not restricted just to this flesh that we live in. But my friend, of my physical sicknesses, and hey, my friend, mental illnesses, and weakness of mind, and coldness of the spirit can affect you from time to time. Limitations come, and you're bound in these three areas of life. It's not always just the sickness of the flesh. Matter of fact, hey, friend, a lot of times the weakness of mind is much more serious than the infirmities of the flesh is. I mean, I've thought a lot of time about my Uncle Jack, who has a strapping, my friend, man, has a strong man here in his early 50s was struck with Alzheimer's. And hey, he was mighty strong, and physically he was still a mountain of a man. But weakness of mind, hey, was his furnace. He was bound and limited by weakness of mind. They tied them in, hey, they tied them in their hosen, in their hat, and in their coat. And there'll come times of life and difficulties and experiences where there'll be weaknesses of the flesh and of the mind and of the spirit man. Hey, you see, it's not every day that I'm shouting on top of the mountain. It's not every day that I'm feeling the victory. It's not every day that I'm dancing in the clover. I mean, there are some days that my spirit is very sorrowful. And some day that my spirit is very heavy. Somebody said, well, if you're spiritual as what you ought to be, it wouldn't be like that. Well, Jesus went in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I would suppose that you wouldn't tell Jesus he needed to be more spiritual, would you? that when he went in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. I'm telling you, there's just days that you don't jump up out of bed and, hey, get that charge inside of you and want to take on hell with a water pistol. Amen. There are some days you just don't have that mindset and that spirit about yourself. There's limitations that come in life. There are experiences in life that will bind you and restrict you. And there are days, my friend, that you're up and days you're down. And it affects every part of your being. If it were, hey, if it just affected our body, it never would affect our worship, would it? We could come in the house of God, we could worship God regardless of how sick we were, how bad we felt, whatever. But isn't it amazing how sometimes whenever you feel an experience of tying or binding in your body, whether it's, hey, I experience have them headaches, you know, and sometimes it gets bad enough you see two or three of everything, and you know when it gets to that point you've got a serious one coming on, and it'll go like that for a while, and then it'll take a sudden turn for the worse. And you get in a church and you're in a situation like that, and you just know that you got to get up and try to preach and be instant in season and out of season. But somehow or another, that thing that's binding my mind and my body also has a way of tying up my spirit, because there's no one part of this man that's independent of the rest. I'm going to say, friend, that which affects your body affects your mind and affects your spirit. And if that which affects the spirit affects the mind and the body. And that which affects the mind affects the spirit and the body. They were bound with all three parts of their wardrobe still on and tied up and cast in the fire. And you're going to experience times in life where all three of your parts of your being are going to be tied up by the same experience in life. And those are the hardest times, is not the ones that's physical infirmities or mental illnesses, or if it be that of a spiritual cold time. The hardest times in life is when it strikes all three at the same time. Those are the hottest furnaces. Those are the greatest troubles, where that they were tied in their coats, tied in their toes. And so, my friends, some fires are so hot that they can bind you and test you in all three areas at once. That's what we find here of the Hebrew children as they're going into the fire. And so they were tied in their coats. And then I want to say, secondly, they were tried in their coats. In verse number 23, the Bible said, in these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't it interesting we're seeing this three thing again? These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You see, they were tried in their coats. Not only tied, but they were tried. They were wearing even the mantle of the Spirit of God. Somebody said, if you're as spiritual as what you ought to be, you wouldn't be going through the troubles you have. Well, that's not anywhere in the Bible. There's no biblical teaching to back that kind of foolishness up. I mean, these men had on their hosen, their hat, and their coat. They were anointed with the Spirit of God. They were doing the right thing. Matter of fact, the very reason why they were going into the fire was for doing the right thing. Hey, listen, sometimes we face troubles and trials for doing the wrong thing, but friend, there are times in life that you face troubles and trials because you did the right thing. Just because you always do the right thing doesn't mean that the good thing will always be done unto you. I mean, hey, I know you reap what you sow, and the Bible does teach us we sow, and the Spirit we shall reap life everlasting. And that's why these three Hebrew boys could say that if God does not, if He does not deliver us out of the fire, He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. If we die in that fire, one way or another, we're going to be delivered. But just because you do the right thing does not mean you'll never have a fiery furnace. It does not mean that you'll never have a trial. Just because you're spirit-filled does not mean you'll never have a trial. Just because you're trying to live for Jesus does not mean that you'll never have a trial. As a matter of fact, it means you're guaranteed to have them. Amen. It means you're guaranteed to have trouble. Jesus said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In this life tribulation, ye shall have sin. Hey, friend, listen. Their anointing of God is not fire insurance. It is fire assurance. It does not keep you out of the fire, but it goes with you through the fire. Amen. And by the way, it went through the fire, and when they came out of the fire, it had not changed. Amen. Their coats were not changed. I'm telling you, the anointing of God, it cannot be burnt by the fire. It cannot be burnt by the flame. It is not furnace proof this morning. You may have to go into the furnace, but it is fireproof. Amen. The anointing of God cannot be burnt up by the troubles that men face. But thank God we can go through these things and dress in our hose and our head and our coat and come out the other side without our coats even being changed. These experiences of life, they may touch body, soul, and spirit, but they don't have to change us into some vile creature and some bitter individual that won't turn to the Lord. It's interesting that they had faith, but they still had a fire. There are those that said, oh, the reason why you're going through what you're going through is because you just don't have enough faith in God. And if you had faith in the Lord like you ought to, and if you was really walking in faith and sowing good seeds and, you know, all of those other little terms that they want to use, and you was doing the right thing, sowing good seeds, believing God, expecting for a miracle, naming and claiming and all these other things. If you just really had the faith you ought to have, you wouldn't be going through the fire you're going through. These old boys had faith, but they still had a fire. Matter of fact, I want to tell you something about faith. If you've got faith, you're going to have a fire. Because your faith is going to be tried with fire. If you've got faith in God, you're guaranteed to have a fire. I mean, listen to me, friend. There is nobody in this building or in this community or in this world that does not have trouble. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got trouble, friend. Just because you have faith does not mean you won't have a fire. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "Wherein and you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." He said, rejoice when your faith is tried. Rejoice when your faith is tested. Rejoice when you're put in the fire. Because if you've really got faith in Jesus, neither will your coat be changed. And you'll come out the other side, stand before God one day in judgment, and you'll rejoice that you trusted in Jesus and that you made the last mile of the journey all the way home, and you'll be glad then that you served the Lord. So rejoice. Rejoice when your faith is tried. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Don't think that you are the only one that's ever had problems. Don't sit around, wring your hands, and eat to Rolaids and drink Maalox and worry and pull your hair out and get all upset about whatever thing's coming to pass. Don't think it's just some strange thing that's happened or that God somehow is mistreating you and not doing you right. Everybody's going to have problems. Not some strange thing that's happening to you. But what do you do instead? But rejoice inasmuch that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let no man of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody, and other men's matters. Amen, amen. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I mean, rejoice in your sufferings. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 16 said, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall quench every fiery dart of the wicked." I'm telling you, we're going to have fires. We're going to have trials. It's going to happen.
better have faith, trust in God, walk through the fires with Jesus, and you can come out on the other side, and they'll say, neither were their coats changed. Above all, take that shield of faith. You'll have trials, but stay near the fourth man in the trial. Your trial can be made into a blessing. Did you know that? Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Verse 28, he said, God works all things together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. He does. He works it all for good. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17 said, for our light affliction, which is now but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, friend, we're going to be rewarded according to our sufferings. The Scripture says in the book of James, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And so, friend, when these trials come upon your life, don't complain and ask questions of God, why me? And feel like God's not doing you right, but rather rejoice at the trying of your faith, work in patience, the Scripture said. I mean, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. When the trials come, friend, you'll be tried in your coat. But if you'll walk next to the fourth man, the coat does not have to be changed. Amen. They were tied in their coats. They were tried in their coats. And I'm closing with this. They testified in their coats. And this is where you need to get to. Right now you may be in the tied stage of your trial or your fire. And listen, everybody's in one of the three. Everybody's in one of the three. If you've been saved any length of time at all and had your first fire, and by the way, if you hadn't, you'll soon have one. But if you've had your first fire, at least you're in one of these three stages. You're either tied in the fire now, being bound and just about to enter into this thing and at the beginning of your trial, or you're being tried, which means you're in the midst of it, you're in the middle of your trial, you're in the middle of the fire, or you're ready to testify as you've come out of the trial. You're in one of three stages, going in the middle, or coming out on the other side. That's what the Christian life is all the time. It's one of those three stages. These men were tied, they were tried, and then they testified. And whenever you come out of the trial on the other side, don't just let the things that you've experienced go to waste, but use them as a testimony unto others. These men were tried and they were tied, but when they came out, they testified. And it's up to us, a friend, as believers in Christ, when we go through experiences in life that may be hard upon us, that we have during that. Listen, did you notice when they walked out, there was three men that went in, there was three men that came out, but while they were in the fire, there was four men. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you really want to walk near to Jesus, you'll have to walk in the fire. That's where He was. There was three that went in, three that went out, but four while they were there. Your times walking closest to the fourth man will not be while you're on the outside of the furnace, but while you're on the inside of it. Amen. That's where you experience that closest walk with God. And after those experiences and after those days and after those trials are passed and God sees you through them, don't squander that opportunity to testify of what God has done in your life and how He's helped you. Let others see what He's worked in you. And verse 27, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor was the smell of fire had passed on them. I mean, their testimony was that the fire had not changed them. Their testimony was that they were bold. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't turn. Though they were bound, they were still blessed. They had a testimony when they came out on the other side of this fire. Everybody in here has known somebody, and probably several somebodies who you've watched go through some trial or some fiery difficulty in life, or some low point, or some valley, or some battle of some sort, and you've been amazed how that they were the same person and loved God at the beginning of the trial, loved God in the middle of the trial, loved God on the the other side. And though they went through a great burning fiery furnace, when they came out, neither were their coats changed. And they're still loving Jesus and still serving Jesus despite the fire that came in their lives. And then everybody in here has known somebody who looked like this flying high and serving God on the mountaintop until all of a sudden the burning fiery furnace came and it's burnt them up just like that. Just like that. And now you know what we say about those folks? Well, I remember when they used to go to church. I remember when they used to serve God. I remember when they used to walk with Jesus. Boy, now that fellow right there, he used to be a real preacher. That's one of the saddest statements that I've ever heard in my life. I can take you right now to the homes of men right now, this day. Men who have preached in this pulpit, not one but several, who have preached in this pulpit right now. And you could say of them, boy, they used to be a real preacher. Now their refrigerators are full of alcohol. Their lives are full of sin. Their homes filled with trouble. They're way far, far away from God. You can choose what you'll have. You'll either go into the fire and let it burn you up, or you'll go in the fire, hold close to the fourth man, and you can walk around and come out on the other side with a testimony that neither were their coats changed. And it's up to you. They said, "Go, King, we're not careful to answer you in this matter." You kidding us? Scared? What do we have to be scared of? We hate this place. We're in Babylon. We're in captivity. We didn't want to be here to start with. You made us come here. And one way or another, we're either going through the furnace, or if we die in that furnace, we're getting out of this God-forsaken place called Babylon. And either way, to God be the glory. That ought to be our attitude in this world we're living in. Trials, difficulties, troubles, tribulation come upon us. Hey, we're a winner either way. Either, my friend, God's either going to bring us through the trial, make that trial a blessing. With us through that trial, or else we're leaving this God-forsaken place. We're leaving this Babylonian world, and either way we're going to be delivered, and either way we're going to be blessed, and either way we're going to have someone to hold our hands. I tell you, thank God I'm not careful, King Nancy, you in this matter. When it's all said and done, neither will your coat be changed. You walk close to the fourth man. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? They testified. Their testimony. What was the testimony? The testimony was that the fire had no power over them. It said the fire could not burn their bodies. Had their bodies, the fire had no power over them because of the fourth man. The heat could not overcome them because of the fourth man. The trial had not changed them because of the fourth man. The smoke did not cling to them. This is one of my favorites. The smoke didn't cling to them because of the fourth man. You've seen people, they've gone through the trial, they made it out on the other side, they hadn't quit serving God, but they sure do drag a lot of smoke around with them everywhere they go. Every time you talk to them, they're just still defeated about that trial they had 10 years ago. I tell you, that thing's just got me at the bottom. I just can't. I tell you, unless they won't come out of the furnace, they just sit in there and smolder in the smoke. They won't accept victory if God were to send it. They love living in the molly grubs. They're having so much fun at their pity party, they don't want the party to end. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, friend, it's time for us to walk out of the furnace by the strength and power of the fourth man and testify that God's still on the throne. He's still God. Besides Him, there's not another. And I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. If I'm abounding or if I'm abased, if I'm high or low, in or out, I tell you, God's with me. The Lord will stand by me and walk by my side, and I'm going to learn to trust Him and live for Him. Amen. That's right. That's right. The smoke clings to some. But I tell you, if you'll walk near the fourth man, smoke don't have to cling to you. Matter of fact, you've been around some people. There's some people right here in this building that if you didn't know them when they were going through their hottest fire, if you were to talk to them now, you never would know that they'd ever been through a fire before. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, these people right here in this building, if you didn't know them when they were going through their hottest fire, You'd think now, talking to them with a smile on their face and the right attitude that they've got and their love for Jesus, you'd think, well, that person never has had a problem in his life. They never have gone through any issues in their whole life. They got to handle it. Boy, I wish I had things easy like they got. You don't even know what kind of furnaces they've been through. You don't even know what kind of fires they face. But the difference is that they're neither were their coats changed. They don't have the smoke clinging to them. And they're not pitching a pity party forever about what happened. They're just serving Jesus till He takes them out of this world. Amen. We talk about it around here every now and again. I appreciate him letting us do it. Brother Jeff, if you didn't know he'd been through cancer treatments and all that kind of stuff within the last couple of years, you'd never even know it. It hadn't affected him, seemed like. Still got a smile on his face. Only thing I can see it's done to him is made him work harder and do more and enjoy Jesus more. It's the only thing I've seen it's done to him. Man, I worry about him. Man, work himself to death. He said, told me the other day, he said, a day before I had to work, now I get to work. And I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing to get to work. But a man can just work himself slammed to death. And I worry about him sometimes just running his legs off up to his hip bones. But I tell you, if you didn't know he'd gone through them treatments so long, if you didn't see him when his face was purple and black from the back of his head all the way around to his, in front of his chin, and watch him as he tried to get a word out now and again and couldn't even speak. If you didn't see his eyes, the bloodshot smudged, you couldn't hardly tell what color that his eyes were, friend. If you didn't see that then, you look at him now and think he never has been through a fire. He never has had a problem. He hadn't even got to smell smoke on him. His coat's not changed. Oh, but see, you weren't there. You weren't walking in the furnace. But I'm going to be glad of this, thank God. The same Jesus that walked in the furnace still knows about it. He knows about those experiences and the fire. Amen, that's right. And when you live for Jesus, and don't drag your smoke about with you everywhere you go. Don't live a life of defeat. Don't walk near the fourth man. You can be a testimony to others when you come out of the fire of what God can do in His delivering power. Amen.
Right.
Amen. If we were to just want to do it this morning, we could have a great big pity party. And everybody in here, we could start over here in the corner and start and go all the way around. Everybody in here could tell us your troubles. By the time we got it to the middle aisle, we wouldn't even have to finish up. By the time we got to the middle aisle, there'd be people cutting themselves, pouring gas on themselves, setting themselves on fire, running out in the road and getting run over, jumping off bridges and out windows. I tell you, if we really wanted to just tell everybody about all the problems we've ever had in our whole life, it could get to be some seriously depressing business. But I'm so glad, thank God, instead of talking about your problems, we're going to talk about our God. Instead of telling you, hey, instead of telling God how big all your problems are, we're telling our problems how big God is. Amen. I mean, friend, instead of sitting around and worrying about all the issues we got, we're sitting around today to discuss him, how big a God we got. I tell you, it's a testimony of this world that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power out of a sound mind. Thank God. I tell you, you can live in victory and walk in Jesus and be a testimony unto others. If your life's so miserable being saved, what does anybody else want to do it for? If you live in so much defeat and so much misery while you try to know the Lord and walk with Jesus, and what in the world would anybody else want what you've got for? Hey, man, I'm about to quit. I'm getting where I'm fixing the metal now. And so, old boy come home from church with his granny and grandpa in the little dead country church. I mean, that place wouldn't recognize God in a one-man lineup with a name tag on. And I mean, it is cold and dead, and everybody there singing Precious Memories in double O, and sad and crying and bellowing more like a funeral than a worship service. And left out of the house of God, went home, and the old boy told his granny, he said, I believe I'll go down to barn and pet the mule a little bit, maybe feed him. Went down there, and an old gray mule was standing there at the fence, hanging his head over the fence and chewing on some straw. His old long face hanging over there. Little boy reached over there and grabbed that mule by the face. He said, what's the matter with you, Mr. Mule? Did you get religion like the rest of them? Amen. I tell you, that's the way a lot of folks are. Long face, miserable all the time. I'm going to tell you, if you're happy, notify your face. Amen. Put a smile on your face. I mean, be a testimony for Jesus. Let the world know. Listen, matter of fact, that verse we read in 1 Peter chapter 7, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6 and 7, talked about that fire trial that overcome us. Two verses down, you know what he said? He said, when we got to heaven, we testified about got this trial and God rewarded us. He said, I tell you, we rejoice even now with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In other words, we're already rejoicing over the reward that's yet going to be. And that reward specifically referred to is that for suffering. For if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. I mean, friend, they went in the fire and tried and tried. When they got done, they testified that either their coats were changed. Don't let the fiery trials make you bitter. Walk with the fourth man and let it make you better. Let it make you better. I'm done preaching. I want you to come with a song. Here's my question for you this morning. Trials make sinners bitter, but it makes the saints better. With the fire burning all around you. Listen, there was one thing on these men that burnt. One thing on the three Hebrew boys that burned. The ropes that had them bound. They went into the trial in bondage. They came out in liberty. They went into the trial bound. They came out in freedom. You may feel like that God's putting you something that's killing you. And all the while, all He's trying to do is burn the ropes off of you. Set you free to serve God in the liberty of the victory of the Lord. You're going into the trial bound, but you're coming out free. Amen. Oh my. Trust in the fourth man. The only thing that'll burn off then is the ropes that bind you. And you can come out and your coat won't be changed. I'd be foolish to think this morning that I know or understand everything that's going on in people's lives here today. I'd be foolish. I know people pretty good around here. I can use a tail when you're up and when you're down, in and out, and all that kind of stuff. When you pastor the same group of people for 12 years, that's what happens. Matter of fact, most of the time you can tell when I'm up and down, in and out, and all that. And I'm a little harder to read than most people are. Yeah, some of you know that. I'm a little harder to read than most people are on that kind of stuff. And most time you can't tell near as easily as what I can tell you. But you can tell. But the truth is, though I can tell when folks in and out and up and down sometimes, I don't know what it is they're out about. What they're down about. What it is that they're even going through. I'd be foolish to think that I understand or even know about the trials that everybody's facing here this morning. I'd also be foolish, and you would as well, to think that all of us know what tomorrow's going to hold. Right now, you may be standing right in front of the furnace, ready to be tied, ready to be tried. You better walk near to the fourth man while the sun's yet shining, for the fiery trials will come. I do know a God in heaven that knows what you're going through now, what you'll face tomorrow, and He's got what you need to get through your trial before you ever show up. Amen? He's got a plan for your problem before you ever even have a problem for His plan. Amen. And He'll walk through the fire with you. Nobody could walk through the fire with these three Hebrew children even if they wanted to. There may have been some other Hebrews standing out there and said, this ain't right. He's picking on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a lot of us that don't want to worship that God. But these were the three He picked out. They said, well, we'll go through it with them. But if they'd have went through it with them, they'd have died. It wasn't their fire. It was the Hebrew boys' fire. Sometimes Brother Wayman go through a fire and I can't go through that fire with him. But there's one who can. The fourth man can go through the fire. When I can't walk through it with you, I can stand on the sidelines and cheerlead. I can stand on the sidelines and pray. I can have an empathetic heart for you. But in reality, only one person can go through the fire with you. Amen. But I'm so glad in the midst of the fire and in the midst of the floods, He'll not forsake you. He'll not leave you in the sixth trouble, and He won't forsake you in the seventh. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's a faithful God, and He'll be with you in the fire. Amen. Maybe it's this morning somebody needs to talk to the Lord. I don't know what you're facing, but I wish you'd talk to Jesus. I'll be glad to stand on the sidelines and cheer you on. If you'll walk with a fourth man through your fire, stand please. If you need to pray, I wish you'd come do business with God. Sing when you get ready, sis. Amen. Neither were their coats changed.
Sometimes when misgivings,
you need to talk to the Lord about it. Cast all your cares on Him,
day,
for He cares for you.
Slide, I cannot see.
I'll pray for you, have an empathetic heart towards you.
Ask my
but I can't
dear
walk
Lord
through the fire with you, but
He can. The way. He whispers sweet peace to me.
Amen. Amen.
He whispers sweet peace.
He'll walk through the fire, through the flood, through your trials, through your difficulties.
He whispers sweet peace.
With your problems, he'll not run and hide.
When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me.
Keep singing. Others need to come do business with the Lord this morning.
I could not go on without him, I know. The world would overwhelm my soul. For I could not see the right way to go when temptations o'er me roll. He whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. I trust him through faith, by faith hold his hand, and sometimes my faith is weak. And then when I ask him to take command, it seems that I hear him speak. He whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. okay. I'm not running a fever or anything. Tasha, Tasha, you can look in her throat and see the strep.
He said she's got my braces work.
Yes, she told me she would. I'm going to run down there and bring Tasha. She's wanting some rolls, those Sister Schubert rolls. So I'm going to go by there and pick that up and take them down there later on. And I'm going to pick up Grace's work when I go down.
Okay. Well, just tell, can you show me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And Mama said it was pretty much all stuff that Grace would know what to do, okay. You know.